wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Oh, I'm hearing from Rabs. Oh. I'll tell you where I am. I'm in bed sick.
Oh, Rabs.
Fair dinkum. What happened to that man?
How sick is he, Jim?
This is listening enough to be able to send us a text.
How sick is he?
Old wobble guts. Now, Coat Tire, very nice to have them on board, of course, as a sponsor of our man, Damien Barrett. Tell us a bit about, we're going positive first up?
Yes, let's go the positives
today. AFLW final has got to be right at the top of that list.
At the very, very top. 53,034 people wandered into the Adelaide Oval, Bill, for what was a great sporting contest. And the moment out of the game is the person central to the entire AFLW story, Erin Phillips. Today, officially, awarded her second MVP of the competition. It's the second time she's done
which is the Brownlow, because they haven't got a name really for it, have they? You would have thought they'd have a... the lady has been very good out here at the Western Bulldogs.
Susan Alberti.
Yes, or someone like
that. I think at one of the awards, and she's now won the best on ground in the grand final twice, and now won the MVP of the competition twice. One of those awards surely needs to go after Erin Phillips.
Just call it the Erin Phillips medal. She can win her own medal.
Which one though, Jim? The grand final, best on ground, or the MVP?
Grand final, best on ground.
Yep.
And did a knee.
Staggering to think that she had done enough in that award when she went down with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, and it was a clear-cut best of field, wasn't it?
Did you know, and I didn't myself until our man Abraham Lincoln told us, that the crowd, Bill, bigger than any NRL crowd last year outside of the grand final.
53,034 people, bigger than their prelims, their finals.
Any other home and away game they had for the whole year.
Wow. Mm. Well, we crossed to Tommy Wren on Channel 9. He said they might get 20 or 25,000.
Mm. Yeah.
53,000 is unbelievable.
They were almost sort of thinking, gee, if we get 30,000, we're lucky. But it went through the roof.
Unbelievable.
And in the end, it was almost a lockout.
Well done. Liam Picken, speaking of well done, what a great footballer and football person he's been for the Western Bulldogs.
Incredible. And you only need to go back to 2016, don't you? And for him personally, a couple of years leading into that particular season when they won the grand final. But this has been coming for some time. Officially announced his retirement today on the club website. Spoke with Bob Murphy about the reasoning behind it due to the concussion.
It's just a gradual sort of build up, and you know, seeing the different specialists and talking to family and friends. Sort of build up to, you know, the moment to be able to make a decision, and it's, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with the decision. Yeah, it's really knocked me around. The concussion sort of continued to sort of linger, and unfortunately, you know, it's still hanging around now, so, you know, it's just going to try everything to get it right, and so there's sort of no chance to be able to play footy.
Good bloke. Very good bloke. Yep. Good team man. And you know what he can say? He's a premiership player.
Oh, no. And left everything out there.
He did.
Didn't he, Liam Picken?
Did it the hard way too before he got his first game and played and toiled at the lower levels and then did it the old-fashioned way, didn't he? Came in and for the moment he got in, he just stayed in. Oh. It was a really, really heart and soul type of player.
Are the AFL ready for this concussion fallout, Damien? Because we're seeing it a lot now and blokes are starting to retire because of it.
Yep.
It's going to be some sort of fallout, this.
You think so? And this is clearly related to the head knocks that he has got. No, to answer your question, Bill, like a lot of sporting organisations, they're obviously aware of the problems around it. But in terms of being established and set up for what lies ahead for people like Liam Picken, no, is the answer. There's no work cover, strangely enough, for an AFL footballer. And that is something I think is a big issue. But when it comes to the specifics of concussion within that framework, absolutely no protection for a player outside of his contract.
Hey, Geelong, very good. I was down there Saturday night. I actually didn't think, stupidly enough, that Melbourne were too bad.
Yeah.
They were horrible inside 50, but the rest of what they did was actually much better than the week before, I thought. But that is a huge margin.
Well, if
80 points.
And doesn't that say something, given that, as you say, it's 80 points, and Melbourne said those comments themselves, Jim, that they weren't too far off. But it makes for a massive game, doesn't it, on Friday night? We might touch on that side of it when we get to the negatives, because that involves the team they're playing, Essendon, in that. But back to the positives, the courage that Chris Scott and others around him took to give four players a first AFL game in round one, Bill, and then to stick with them in round two, and then to give them roles that are meaningful. They're not just getting games of footy to make them better for the future. They're in the team now to win a game of footy, aren't they? And I love the moment moment with Tom Hawkins, with Jordan Clark, Jim. I know you called it. To me, it's summed up where they're at the moment. They're all in, aren't they? They're
selfless,
inclusive, and it's the older guys like Hawkins bringing the younger kids into it.
I'll tell you what I liked. Matty Lloyd yesterday said this, Jim, that the boys that have come in, they've taken a while in the VFL. Constable
played all their last year. Myers the same.
Everyone's saying he should have played last year, but no, they kept him in the VFL. Brian Myers a whole year.
Tom Atkins,
four or five years in the VFL. Even Menengola and TK, Tim Kelly, they were 3 or 4 years in the waffle. So they've come in and they've had a good little apprenticeship. So I think that's important. But I have been telling you they've been intense all preseason.
Intense,
Jim.
Bill.
I did.
And just before we move off the Bulldogs totally, Jim, we talked about Liam Picken there, but to kick 8 goals in a row, the way they did against Hawthorn yesterday, and 9 for the quarter, they're back, aren't they, Bill? No matter where they go this year, we now can, I think, state as fact that they are back to their manic and fearless best that was synonymous with what they did in 2016.
Right. We've got some more pluses. The Saints and the Lions have jumped out of the blocks. Have Port Adelaide. We're going to get to that shortly, Digby. Domo's in here, of course, for Coates Hire. Nice to see him every Monday. A big wrap of footy. And we're being nice and positive early today, Domo. And the Saints are 2-0.
They are. And I put my hand up and I could not see it coming. And I don't think anyone could, Bill. And you look at the ladder now and they're one of that group of teams with 2-0 scorelines in 5th spot on the ladder. And look, what they did really well on the weekend was respond to Essendon's surge in that second half. And they had a couple of cracks out at Essendon. They were way off. We'll touch on them in the negative section soon. But they were good. I really love Jade Gresham's game. Jack Billings has now put together 2 good games. And Josh Bruce, I mean, we know that when he went down last year, how much that affected them. And his presence up there has been really, really good. So look, they've got a tough run still to come. Their next 7 or 8 weeks is really tough. But if they keep applying that endeavour that they've applied in rounds 1 and 2, well done to them.
That's all you want.
No, exactly right. And the Lions 2-0 as well.
Yeah, and what I like about them, Jim, is the games that they've now won are games that they would have lost gallantly last year. But now they're actually converting them into W's. And West Coast in round 1, and then the way they finished that game against North, that was, you know, an old-fashioned game that North would have won, but they just exploded out of the centre. They used that 6-6-6 situation far better than what North was able to do, and ultimately North just was unable to stop the most dominant player on the ground at any stage of it, that being Lachie Neale, who has started in great fashion. Bill,
what about
have 6 Brownlow votes?
Yeah, what about the Big O?
Big Oscar
McInerney.
Yeah, he was good at the
big
in stages, wasn't he? Yeah. They were talking about him off-season, not knowing how to get him into the team with Stephen Martin, who's still the main man there. And they wanted to give him some game time and how they're going to do it. But they managed to find a way in round 2 in a way that actually contributed to their second win.
And you know who the best small forward in the game is at the minute?
I think I might know the answer to that, Bill. Charlie Cameron.
CC.
Yeah. Yeah,
and dry.
He was basically tracking that way, wasn't he, throughout the first half of last year to a point. He went down with a foot injury and then wasn't seen in the back half of the year.
But it's good.
His body of work now is over a number 3 or 4 years, obviously with Adelaide before moving to Brisbane last year. But I think he is that premier small man in the comp.
Yeah, well, there's a few, but he's first
very
two
good
games
one.
Been very good.
And Port Adelaide have also been very good. You've got to acknowledge this early. For I know a lot of people turn around, Purple, and say, it's like a major in golf. A no-name drops a 65 on day 1, don't they? And everyone goes, let's wait until we get to the end of round 4 because you won't be seeing that name on the leaderboard. It doesn't matter. You still got to shoot 65 on a course set up for a major.
Yep.
You still got to win these games.
You do.
So you got to acknowledge this. You know, these 2 games of St Kilda, the Lions, and Port Adelaide.
Yeah, and having to travel to Melbourne as they did in round 1 to beat the Demons, obviously, I suppose made us all sit up and take notice. They did what they had to do on the weekend against Carlton. But again, that wasn't the easiest wins of all time.
No.
And the sad part about that, in that footy sense use of the word sad, is Jack Watts going down one week after what was his almost high point to an AFL career, wasn't it, over a long period of time. So he is going to be really battling now to get back this year, given it's a double breakdown low on that leg that was tackled by Mark Murphy, and it's an ankle and I suppose a bit higher than the ankle as well. 2 separate problems, both serious.
Scott Lysette's been outstanding.
He's been good, hasn't he?
He didn't want to go either. He rang when they were all the boys away celebrating their premiership. He rang Trevor Nisbet crying.
What,
saying,
did he?
Don't let me go. I don't want to go. I want to stay at the West Coast. He said, mate, deal's already
You've
done.
Got some very good mail on Scott Lysette. Oh, yeah. They've been dropping the last couple of weeks. Someone's talking.
Yeah, they are. Those boys over there are a bit loose.
Did you know, getting back to the Cats game, I didn't know this until the great Doug Hawkins told me. EJ Witten, the legend, the greatest ever Bulldog, played 21 years and never won a game at Cardinia Park.
Didn't he?
In 21 years. And Hawk played 18 years and won once.
One. Yeah. One game.
In 1985.
He did. That is spot on, Jim.
How can that be? That is unbelievable.
It is hard to win down. It's a different shape ground. It is. And how good was it on Saturday night?
It was horrific.
It was beautiful.
No, it was as bad as it gets. Well, I tell you why. Here's the first bit, Damo.
Yeah.
Because of the TV, you have to get there earlier than you would for us doing radio. I pulled into the car park at Cardinia Park. 3 hours, 3 hours before the game started.
Yep.
So you reckon you'd get a car park?
Yes.
I said to the lady, there's my thing, car park A.
Well, I've seen you barge through that particular checkpoint without a ticket.
Oh, exactly, Jim.
Don't you know
who I am? Yeah.
She was a lovely lady. She said, look, I'm really sorry, but car park A is full. I said, it's 3 hours before the game.
Sucks.
She goes, sorry, but so I had to
back
park out netball courts.
Good.
Anyway, so I then get in there. We go over and talk to Goody before the game, Linger and myself. And as we're walking off, it started raining.
Yep.
That was about a minute before the game. Guess what?
What?
Stayed raining.
Pissed rain the whole game.
Jim, it was freezing. It rained and we won by 80. Bill, Perfect night for Geelong, people.
It can be like Bora Bora in Melbourne. It doesn't matter. You go down to that dump and it just throws down rain.
Behind the glass and the pivots, there was no rain.
Oh, God.
Michael Roberts might have summed it up.
Rubbo.
Mickey Roberts for Bob Jane Seamarts. What's the weather doing downstairs?
Oh, it's still pissing rain.
He was confused.
And the lights didn't go off, Bill?
No, the light. Oh, beautiful. That's a magnificent night down there.
No, it isn't. It's not.
It's
at
good.
All.
It's good for pubs surround the ground.
Well, that might be true. That'll be the only true sentence you've said. The rest of the place give me a spell.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Hey, we need to get to a break. Now we're getting to the negatives. The other side of
Bill's
the equation after
part.
This with Damo. Damien Barrett talking footy for Coates Hire. We've had a look at all the positives that have come out of the second round. Let's just swing over to the other side of the equation. And I'm guessing Essendon are in your sights, Purple.
Yeah, they need to be, don't they, after what they dished up in round one. And then I think equally damningly against St Kilda in round two. There's just a lack of connection across all facets of the team, Jim. And I know that it's John Worsfold who is now copping a lot of the heat, but ultimately it's the players who run out. And look, the lack of leadership that is apparent anyway, and the lack of connectivity between all facets of that footy club right now is a really big worry.
They did this almost last year, didn't they? They blew their season up early and then came flying home and nearly made the finals, and everyone said they're the best team out of the eight and all the rest of it. But if you don't win these games, it actually doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. And I think you know my views, Jim. When you're winning those games late in the season, when you are basically no chance at all to make the finals, I reckon it's a fake economy. It's a false standing. And while you can look at the scoreboard and the ladder at the end of last year, and they've got 12 wins, which means they missed the finals by game only, it was irrelevant once they went 2-6 on that scoreline. John Worsfold, post-match, he was dealing with an angry group of supporters who booed the team off the ground.
Yeah, we're disappointed. We understand our supporters are disappointed. I hope our supporters understand that our players are disappointed. They don't need to be booed to feel disappointed, but that's everyone's right. So we'll cop that. But the boys are working really hard.
Massive game Friday night.
You got to cop that. If they want to boo.
I don't like it, Bill. I know I'm in a minority, but yeah. I don't like supporters of their own club booing their players. I just don't get it, and particularly that club, because don't forget they were in outrage only 3 or 4 years ago when a group of supporters dared to boo Joe Watson. Remember?
Yeah.
So why do they then boo their own? I mean, they're booing their own players now when they had a problem with other people booing their players.
You pay your hard earned. Go along and watch that crap.
It's a bit hypocritical to me, Bill.
You don't have to be booing anyone, Bill.
I don't mind.
The Demons are probably 0-2.
Yep.
And horrible round one. Got a few more things right round two. By the way, where would they be without Clayton Oliver and Angus Brayshaw?
Oh, yeah, those two are continuing.
Nearly single-handedly kept them in it.
Very good, Bray.
Oh, but Oliver was magnificent.
Good too.
Only got the 15 goals in the two games, and yeah, as you said before, 80-point loss, but it was somehow better than what they dished up up against Port Adelaide in round one.
72 inside 50s. If you do that every game, you're going to win more games.
But what's it mean, though, Bill? The
way it means came you're getting in, it in there.
Oh, but you see the way it came in? It could have been... It was actually worse going in the way it came in, I reckon.
But, so, Purple, I would love Simon Goodwin to be sitting here because the question for me for a long time, and you know this is not a new thing, you give up a top 10 pick for Jake Levy, you give up a top 10 pick for Stephen May... The problems for that club for me, especially with Hogan exiting, are in the front end.
Yeah, they are.
I don't see their back half as a problem. I certainly don't see their midfield as a problem. I think Tom McDonald's not a natural forward.
Well, not a number one forward anyway.
I congratulate him for last year. I thought he worked really hard and did a great job for them, but it's not his natural DNA place to play footy. Yeah. I don't know about Wiedemann yet. He might end up.
No, we don't know about him, Jim. I mean, again, he was tracking well, but when you have to then assume the number two role, as he's had to do,
Petrarca's got to do more.
Petrarca is all at sea.
Melchum's going okay.
Melchum has a crack.
He does.
But I just think if you're going to cough up, you know, top 10 draft picks are liquid gold. Yeah. One of them had to be someone who can play in the front end.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
Yeah. Well, look, I think it's unfolding that way. I'm not giving up on Melbourne just yet.
No, I basically have with Essendon.
But I'm not on Melbourne. And we'll get to see, won't we, Friday night. We'll be calling it, Jim, at the MCG.
No, they'll be fine.
Melbourne versus Essendon, huge game.
What happened with Hawthorn?
Yeah, massive issue here. And I want to tackle this from an AFL perspective initially. Clearly, there's a crackdown in that game anyway on this prohibitive contact that players aren't allowed to do but were allowed to get away with. And there's a difference, isn't there? We saw what happened to Max Gawn in round one. We saw Ben Cunnington be able to punch Nathan Wilson and play again the next week. So much went on in round one. So we cracked down on everything. And James Sicily had a free kick paid against him, which may be the worst free kick in the history of the game. The way the game's been umpired, Jim and Bill. And there were a couple of other ones. Jarman Impey gave away one, but that was the right determination on that prohibitive contact. Jager O'Meara got another one, similar to Sicily. And even on top of all that, James Warple got a free kick paid against him when he wandered across the centre circle. Now, there's been leniency given to players in this current time frame with these new rules, but Hawthorn copped the bad end of it yesterday, and it's an AFL issue the way I read it.
Having said that, I didn't watch the game, but I saw the three-quarter time score, Bill, and I thought, no chance they lose that.
They're home.
30 points up, Hawthorn never lose.
And Western Bulldogs had only kicked what to then? Seven goals?
And then kicked nine in the last quarter.
They kicked nine in the last quarter, Jim. They just got a run on.
Amazing.
I tell you, wasn't happy. A. Clarkson.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't be.
Should have been. And that five-goal buffer, Jim, that you saw at three-quarter time was actually the same buffer they had at 15-minute mark of the final quarter the Bulldogs hit the goal. They kicked another one to get it back out to 30. And then so that stream of eight goals came in 15 minutes. And just another one with the AFL, Jim. Mason Cox, Collingwood player, will appeal the match review officer's determination. So he'll go to the tribunal.
When will we hear that tonight?
Tomorrow night.
And that means Grimes has accepted, has he?
I haven't heard what they're doing with that. They've got till 5 o'clock the way I recall it to be.
Hey, nice correction for the West Coast Eagles too. After dropping round one, they're a good opponent to the Giants at home, and they did a 52-point number on them. So you got to acknowledge them.
Hey, did you see at the start, Jim, the eagle jumping off the scoreboard or whatever? It was a
huge, big one.
A mascot,
not the one that Sam nearly killed in the
footy show. No, not the real eagle. This is a mascot.
All right,
and he had a rope on him or whatever. But he did this backflip. It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
And the real eagle did fly out after him, actually. So it might have been the one that Sam nearly
strangled.
Decapitated
a live eagle.
On the show.
Sydney's a worry, aren't they? They've gone 0-2. Just didn't have the spark against Adelaide, as they didn't have it against the Bulldogs the previous week. North's escaping some bigger headlines because of the problems at Essendon and Melbourne. They've got major issues. And as you know, Jim, I've got the match review office in my sights again after the confusion out of rounds one and two.
Where is the bus going then, Digby? Where are we sending this?
We sent it out to Tullamarine last week, and we might be sending the second bus in the fleet out there again this week.
A double bus.
Double big 48-seater bus.
Jeez.
That Friday night game is enormous.
Massive.
Melbourne, Essendon. One of them's almost... You're done.
Yeah.
0-3, you're nearly done.
And there's not one of the 44 players that were run out, all the two coaches, who cannot hide in this game. This is game on, and some of them are going
to
crack.
Ooh, I like it. I like it, Purple. Great to see you. Yes. See you Wednesday.
Thanks, Jim.
That was Damo's recovery session. For Coat Tire, call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.